organize an army so we could eat to participate in the design of that closed cabal, three S's and a C, Secord, Singlam, Sheckley, and Klein. Sheckley went to Saigon, became chief of station, and had a hotel in his new location. He arranged a meeting that went up the ante between Von Power and a good old boy named Sato Takakiri. We're talking white gold, golden triangle tea. It was 69 when Sheckley and Klein closed out their career in Asia. Ted had a ticket, he was on his way to becoming a deep cheese with the whole CIA. And Secord was riding on a moving feet, directing Pentagon sales in the Middle East. Well, the war was a mess, as you could guess. But from the heroin trade they made millions, for the Phoenix program which cleaned up 60,000 civilians. I mean, like, totally. Things were getting dangerous in Iran, but Sheckley was quick on the draw. He used the skills he had early developed to develop a clean-up squad for the Shah. He needed a tough nut to crack the unrest. He hired a dude, said, go out and kill, son. I know you won't give up. I know you're the best. Go live up to the name of Edwin Wilson. Dangerous. But the team got into a spot of trouble, selling weapons to Gaddafi, you recall. The GA turned purple, told Wilson and Turple, I'll get you in, I'll get you off. Well, this was clearly a moment of damage control. I said, dusting off my Gucci. Sheckley and Klein's were forced to resign by my deputy chief. Certain types of operations were becoming harder in the wake of Watergate. The government was getting a bad reputation, so Ted said, let's incorporate. Eatsco was a name, Gun and Running was a game with Sheckley, Secord, and the whole team. After Camp David, they cleaned up in Egypt. It was an arms sales machine. Firing the weapons at cost, not a moment was lost. They were sold at an inflated price. The profits were stashed with the opium cash in Nugent Hand, to be precise. Nugent Hand, that's Australian for laundry. Now things were bad, things were bleak. Wilson got more and more grosser. Shaq and Klein sent him off to feed at the trough of a son of a bitch named Samusa. That's good, you're getting quiet. These were private Americans, patriots all. From a mile away they could hear a dollar fall. But now is the time for my boys to fear, cause Samosa was all that was falling that year. Now the arms started flowing to the National Guard, but before too long they were feathered and tarred. And up at the White House you could hear the man's mantra, they're taking our coke plant, hey, I'm a Contra! In a White House meeting, it seemed the Contras weren't quite competing. So Reagan, Casey, Bush, and Meese took up the Contra case, told Secord to cease. But the CIA soon found training to confine the escalator to harbor mining. This created an uproar and great melancholy for the dude who planned it, a guy named... You're too fast for me. This is a little something called We Built This Country. It's, y'all like rock and roll, right? Belinda Carlisle, all that kind of thing. Whitney Houston. Yeah, I thought so. Hard rock, that's it. Here he stands, foot in mouth. The president meets the press. Someone says, what will you do about this arms dealing mess? Hey, you've got to hide those facts away. All we are saying is give me a chance. Oh, paper shredder, oh, paper shredder, oh, what would I do without you? Paper shredder, oh, paper shredder, what would I do without you? Oh, they informed did a fine job, they're patriots that make my heart throb. They're protecting their country in the name of God. They're two heroes we ought to applaud. But I've mastered brain psychology. I got the latest bomb with
Robespierre's broadsides.
If you want to hear a story, then I'll give out with a story about it wouldn't hurt a fly. And it makes you hear new notes in the music. And your touch and feel and taste are the natural things in life. But what do you say? We cut the crap every day, in every way. There's somebody turning you on. There's somebody telling somebody's junk. There's somebody peddling stuff inside a package with a label, by a can or bottle or jar or a car. There's somebody selling dreams and lies. Is that what you do? You do? Well, it's up to you. You hook them your way, I hook them mine, and that's fine. Doping your mind. Oh, there's somebody making you crave. Somebody shit. Oh, there's somebody getting you off with a free sample, starting a habit. Oh, then you buy and buy and buy and buy and buy and buy. There's somebody smacking it to you all the time. Is that what you do? You do? Good. Lucky for you. Push it your way, I push it mine, that's fine. And the price is going up. You push it your way, I push it mine, and that's he's part of my beat. Whatever I see him, I call him. I don't put the heat on or drive him away. The pusher and I diligently do play. Yeah. 1G.
And the rest of radio is fine.
There's the old timer in 1G.
Remember how bad
the
clock
was?
Yeah.
There's 2H.
And everybody's so busy all the time.
There's 3K.
That all we ever get together for is after the murder in the self-service elevator.
There was a little man and he had a little gun. And a little gun. And a little gun. There was a little man and he had a little gun. And his bullets were made of lead.
Oh, my God.
You were listening to Inner City, a fitting introduction to Bathrob Spears' Broadsides, since our show is concerned with the rights of poor people on the streets and off the streets here in Santa Cruz. You are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 89.3 FM. Call-in number for this station is 427-3772. And yes, you are invited to call in. In fact, we have a number of callers who are hopefully going to be coming on in the next 2 hours, during which this show will be happening, or the next hour and 45 minutes. I'd like to apologize to the audience for being late. I picked up the wrong bag this morning when I flew out of my little room and had to go back to get it. We're hoping to get updates from different sources. Red Top Robert Flory, a former Food Not Bombs activist and well-known povertista, may give us a call updating the case of Wonton Dave Jacobs, who's a local freedom fighter, a street attorney in a way. He's not a lawyer, but he's a man who's been in the courts and been fighting for the rights of the poor and defending his own rights for the last half decade. And a court decision in San Jose at the Superior Court or the Appellate Court level recently came down against him. And Robert was an initial companion of Wonton Dave's at the old 1991 Town Clock Peace Vigil, which happened on the heels of the Iraqi genocide, which initially excited Santa Cruz to a lot of concern, which quickly melted away. But the Town Clock Peace Vigil remained for 3.5 months, and Red Top Robert and Wonton Dave were two of the mainstays of that vigil. A lot of the actions taken by police actually firmed up the resolution of Jacobs and Flory to continue staying at the Town Clock to dramatize the plight of poor people in Santa Cruz, as well as the realities of police abuse around political protesters. And the Sentinel did a very brief and, according to Robert and I believe as well, inaccurate report about Wonton Dave's cases, which will be coming up. Hopefully Robert will call in about them. He's working today. Yes, Robert does work, a little wage slavery. So we don't know when he's going to call in. We've already gotten a call, and that was when I was out of the studio rushing around, from Skidmark's Bob of Just Kidding, a band that is apparently suffering renewed harassment on the streets of Santa Cruz, so we may get a call from him. Also hoping for a call from Robert Lee, who's a defendant a plaintiff in a lawsuit against the county regarding affordable housing and their failure to meet the state affordable housing element. Another person that we may directly call ourselves, actually we plan to, is Daniel Robin, who is one of the city-funded mediators hired by the city last spring to work on the downtown behavior problems controversy, a link between the merchants and the poor people. Another guest, possibly by phone, will be Crossroads' Chris Brazda, a local activist, very controversial in some quarters, who's recently been to the Hosts meeting. The Downtown Management Corporation, which controls the Hosts, met yesterday at the Downtown Association HQ, and Chris was there. I was out of town, unable to attend, but Chris got literature, took notes, and observed. And we'll also have calls, hopefully, from other people. In fact, we have a call right now, so let's forego the introduction and on with the show.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, Robert.
Hey. Oh, this is Skidmark Bob.
Yeah.
Not mistaken.
I can't call later. I have to call earlier because I got to do some stuff.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
I thought I'd update you on some of the musician things on the mall.
That'd be good. So you're with the band Just Kidding.
Yes.
And that band is about a year old now?
Something about that. Yeah, a year old.
And introduce you?
I also have Phil Free here, who's been getting constantly hassled.
Oh, good. I think he should be constantly hassled.
Yeah, he should be constantly
hassled. Definitely, yeah. Well, all kidding aside, why don't you proceed?
Pun intended, right?
Certainly not.
Okay. Well, yesterday we played on the mall, and Phil just finished writing his new host song, and we were singing it, and just so happened one of the hosts came by and told him that we couldn't play there.
Where were you playing?
We were playing in front of the jewelry store next to the coffee roasting company. I don't know the address. But what happened was he came up and he started talking to Phil in mid-song, which is very rude. If any of the hosts would know any better, they'd wait until the song was over to come up and ask him to move.
Perhaps a program for the hosts is in order here.
Yes.
And Mr. Manners will have to go in and talk to them.
Yes. Well, they come out of the information center, which I'd like to change one day to informant center.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another
good
issue.
Point, yeah.
We were singing on the mall, and a guy comes up, and he starts talking to Phil. He says, hey, you know, you got to move on, blah, blah, blah. And Phil's trying to sing, so Phil ignores him. And then he starts talking in his little radio. And so I asked him, what are you doing? And so that kind of kept him from further talking into his radio. And he turned to me and told me, well, we got a complaint, and he can't be here anymore. You guys got to move. And I said, well, according to the gentleman's agreement on, I guess, what Tom Noddy did a few years back when they wanted to abolish any kind of singing at all.
Downtown performers again.
Well, it was usually, the agreement was to move along an hour after the complaint was received. And so he told me, well, it doesn't affect here, it has nothing to do with whatever. And then Sergeant Seeley pops up out of nowhere in his cute little black shorts and comes over to us and then he's like, oh, so you know about that agreement, huh? It's like, we weren't supposed to know about it. It's like, most of those people are out of town, except for, like, Tom Noddy, who was gracious enough to talk to me about it one day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, yeah, I know about it. And me and Seeley got into this dialogue about that it's supposed to be an hour after the complaints received. He said, no, it was an hour after you started playing. And we'd been there half an hour, and he said, no, you've been there 15 minutes. Or, no, you've been there 45 minutes, he said.
Mm-hmm.
And so we said, okay, then we'll play 15 more minutes. So, you know, we played 15 more minutes and then moved along. And we were constantly watched and constantly hassled and watched and watched. Seeley walked by a number of times. And then,
were you again warned, or was that the only warning?
No, that was the only warning for the day.
But what time did they give you this warning?
What time was that? Like, in the morning, like 11 or 12, something like that. Between 11 and 12.
Now, was the complaint that you were singing out of key, was that the problem that you...
No, the only complaint was that we were there singing political songs, I think, and,
Now, maybe you could, actually, you haven't been harassed. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. We've got another call on the line, but I'll just let it go.
Okay. You haven't been harassed since the incident about, what, 6-8 months ago,
me?
You, in terms of police concern, or police or host concern with singing on the mall.
Yeah, I haven't sang on the mall for a while. I haven't been on the mall. And I just decided to go out there and everything. I got a new guitar and everything.
Uh-huh.
And so me and Phil decided. Phil's on there constantly, and he can give you a better view of what's going on.
How would you two like to do a little impromptu version of what the song you sung yesterday on the phone for the audience here?
No, not today. I need to go to my vocal lesson today.
I see.
Paul or Phil might say something.
Maybe we can get Phil to do a little humming on the line.
Here's Phil. He'll tell you more.
Hey, thank you. But one last question, Bob.
Yes.
Were you at the meeting recently which you spoke about last show regarding the tennis courts and...
Downtown, or the Lower Ocean Concerned Citizens?
Lower Ocean Concerned Citizens had a meeting, I guess, a few days ago.
Yes, they did.
And so what happened at that meeting?
They had a meeting down at the tennis courts where they turned one of the tennis courts into a roller hockey court.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you have to bring your own equipment, you have to bring your own roller hockey stuff, you have to bring your own pads, you have to bring your own whatever, you know, everything for the game, which I don't think even kids can afford roller hockey stuff, you know. So they gave a little demo on that, and then they talked about different things that they were doing. They were supposed to, Eric Larson was heading up some garden over on Campbell and Barson, and that fell through because of insurance reasons, and he doesn't want to pursue it until they get him, which probably will never happen.
Now, does our garden, the garden at across from Stapleton's at River and Josephine, have insurance?
No, it doesn't.
And how long has that garden been in
effect? It's been there for about two, 2 years now, over 2 years, I think.
Actually, almost 3 years since the Union of the Homeless did its sleep out in 1992.
Yeah.
So you don't really need insurance if you have determination, I guess,
no,
that's what that shows.
No, you don't. And we still have meals there, and, you know, nobody gets hurt or sick, or if they do, then, you know, they're just homeless people, and people don't really care about homeless people anymore.
Well,
some people don't, but there's a lot of people that do.
Was there a good turnout at the meeting of the rollerball aficionados?
It was just the citizen or the people that live in the area, which I'm a resident of in the area, and I'm starting a family in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And I was concerned about what's going on, and so I went there and I specifically asked about police intervention and what's going on in the area, and I was kind of told that, you know, there was like some possible neighborhood watch thing starting, but it wasn't really clear. And then I pick up the Good Times yesterday and find out that there's this big workshop of 15 people in a closed meeting somewhere in Santa Cruz between the police, city council, and other city officials that are going to teach these people how to put on workshops, including like how to fire your landlord, how to sue your landlord for this and that, which is good, and also, you know, how to get rid of graffiti and how to turn in taggers and how to, you know, basically make a criminal out of people that the city doesn't want them around. Basically.
The city or the local community?
The city is putting this on. The city is teaching these people how to do workshops, and they're going to be coming up soon, and I'm going to be talking about it on the radio and whenever they happen.
And when is your show about?
Sunday from 9 o'clock on.
9 o'clock in the evening?
Yes.
And do you have any news about a new meeting coming up around this group?
I think in August sometime, I'm not sure, but I'll get more information on it. I'm on the mailing list and all, and I don't know. It just seems, you know, that they kind of avoid me because I'm political.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Larson himself said that he didn't want me doing stuff because I was political. So.
You give the wrong odor to things.
I guess. I don't know.
Those nasty songs like America-ca-ca-ca.
America-ca-ca.
Some people think that song is just ca-ca.
Or hit, yeah. Well, here, let me give you the feel.
Okey-doke.
I gotta go, so hang on.
Thank you, Skid Marks.
Bye-bye.
Listen to Bob Ackmark. He's got somewhere important to be.
Now, I'm talking now to Phil Free, again, a member of the famous Just Kiddin' Trio. Is that correct?
Yeah, trio. Yeah, we're going to be a quintet or something soon.
Oh, well, and you were president?
Oh, yeah, hey, we're playing. Bob told me to tell him about the hemp benefit.
Go ahead.
The hemp's very beneficial. No, we're playing the hemp benefit. I'm trying to benefit from hemp right now, so I'm a little distracted. But we're playing the hemp benefit on the 9th. So I don't know where it is.
The 9th of August.
Yes, 9th of August. Eight girls are playing. It's going to be a really good show.
So hopefully the skid marks will, or you will mention it on the air in one of your next shows.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I really got to hand it to you people over there at Free Radio Santa Cruz for giving a place where rabble like me can have their voice heard.
Indeed.
This is beautiful.
I've been trying to close it down myself.
Been trying to close it down?
Oh, yeah.
Figures. Mm-hmm. Figures, you know, I knew you were a fascist underneath it all.
Do you have anything? You probably heard Bob's account of what happened the other day, yesterday, I guess.
Yes, Bob's, of course, is a cynical account. No.
What is your, anything to add to that account?
Mine is probably more cynical. I've been playing the mall pretty much full time for a while since I got back from my vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So I had some new songs and some new stuff to do, and I needed to make enough money to buy a new guitar string.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been playing them all a bit lately, and man, they've really stepped up their fucking with you programs while I was gone. When the hosts first came on the scene, it seemed like the hosts did everything they could to get the impression across that they were separate from and different than and had nothing to do with the police,
mm-hmm.
and that they were not security guards, and they had no law enforcement capacity whatsoever. They would just deny it with every breath they had.
Mm-hmm.
But now I've got their scanner frequency, listening to them, maybe make some tapes for the air, who knows, but and hanging out down on the mall and just watching them for a while. These people think that they are cops. They're playing cop. And they've, like, swayed people into being comfortable with their presence, that they are hosts. They're the hospitality people. They're here to, you know, make sure everybody's keys. You know, it's just like anything else in this town or on that mall. It's
things are seldom what they seem.
Yeah, it's if you're a shopper, well, there's plenty of people there to look out for your good time and make sure that you have a good time. But if you live there, that's your home. Well, then those people are there to harass you. And they cannot your home and keep you out of view and in line for the shoppers. And I've seen these people enforce sit-down ordinances. I've seen them enforce camping ordinances. And now they're cracking down on street musicians. And now they'll really crack down on the street musicians now that I wrote a song about them. Now they're really going to have something personal.
That's good. Listen, are you going to be at this number for the next half hour?
Probably not. I think I'm going to go play the mall.
Oh, well, the reason I'm asking is I have to phone a woman now at 10:30, but I'd love to get back to you and hear that song and have our audience hear that song on the air.
I don't know how it would sound through the phone, but that's possible.
Well, let me call you back in 10 minutes.
Okay.
Or alternatively, try calling me back, but in the next 10 or 15 minutes.
All right, well, I'll probably forget, so you can call me.
And your number is, if you want to give it out over the air, probably don't. Why don't you call me back? Call me back in 15 minutes.
Yeah, okay.
Sounds good.
Bye.
Thank you, Phil.
That, of course, was the infamous Phil Free of Just Kiddin', whom I had to interrupt, even though I would have preferred to hear his song and also his description of more detail of what's going on there on the mall and the new harassment from our hospitality program hosts that he says is happening. However, another subject is pressing at the moment because I have to make this call. This is Betty Ippich. Betty Ippich, who I've not mentioned before, was the executive director of the Criminal Justice Council that met last night and voted in a curfew. If you read the Santa Cruz Urinal, the local paper, the Santa Cruz County Urinal, it calls itself the Sentinel. The group, the Criminal Justice Council, did in fact recommend and pass a uniform countywide curfew, which will then be sent to the Board of Supes. I had a long conversation with her yesterday, which I'll briefly summarize for you. And I also went to the meeting last night of the Criminal Justice Council, which included such luminaries as Art Danner, the DA, whom I call Drumhead Danner, Chief Belcher, Steve Belcher of the Santa Cruz Police Department, and then a host of other bureaucrats, Dick Wilson, the city manager of Santa Cruz, some people from Watsonville, Rama Khalsa of Mental Health, and then some people from other social services like Terry Moriarty and Larry Bigham of the Public Defender's Office. What happened was I, Nutcracker Nick Whitehead of SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now, an organization, and Hilda, another interested citizen, Nick's mom, spoke briefly our concerns about the curfew ordinance, which I'll brief you on after I've spoken to Betty. Betty is pretty much out of the process now. She drew up this uniform code under the recommendations of the Juvenile Justice Subcommittee, I believe it is. It's actually got another name, but it's Juvenile Justice Task Force, which met without any notice that I'm aware of on the 14th of July, came up with this, and this curfew has now been passed by the County Justice, the Council, the Criminal Justice Council. So I'm going to talk to Betty about her work on this. She is, of course, an advocate of it in the sense that she drew it up and she supports her own work. But I think it's still helpful to talk to her. She's not really a strong advocate. She's more of a bureaucratic worker around this. She did the work, kind of the footwork that produced this ordinance, and simply was hired to do a job and did the job. And actually, she's quite proud of herself, and properly so in some respects, for putting more exemptions in the law, making it more understanding of the situation of young people than it had been before. However, it means if you're under 17 or you look under 17, the police can stop you, interrogate you, question you, and possibly arrest you just because of how you look. And you'll have to carry ID, it sounds like, or prove to them that you are over 17, which may be hard and certainly seems somewhat un-American. However, let's give a call to Betty and see what she has to say. We're... Hi, Betty. This is radio station Free Radio Santa Cruz. Robert Norris calling you. How you doing, kiddo? I know you have a tight schedule today.
Let's see. I guess we have you working. We had a deadline there for a minute. You're the executive director of the Criminal Justice Council.
Yes, I am.
And you were actually kind of new on the job. You just got on last month.
Actually, July 1st.
And in that time, you were able to put together a countywide curfew, uniform curfew law.
Yeah. You know, what I'd like to do, if I could, is I'd like to at least make some opening statements about this
proposal. Please do. Please
okay. Do. First of all, what I want to say is that the proposed ordinance that was approved last night by the Criminal Justice Council was developed by the Juvenile Justice Task Force, which is a task force of members in the community that belong to the Criminal Justice Council. And we developed this model ordinance at the request of the Santa Cruz County Board of Supervisors.
Mm-hmm.
The Juvenile Justice Task Force Chair is Judy Cox, who is the Director of Juvenile Services at the Probation Department.
Mm-hmm.
So although I'm new in the position and I got involved in this model ordinance July 1st, the Juvenile Justice Group has been working for several months on this ordinance,
mm-hmm.
and input came from several sources, including the Juvenile Justice Commission, the County Office of Education, and several other even community members. But more importantly, I'd like to make a statement, and that is I want you to know that this group, the Juvenile Justice Task Force, truly did develop this ordinance in a spirit in which our children truly, they recognize that our children are probably one of our most valuable resources, so let's protect them.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to develop an ordinance that's focus was on their protection and not on an enforcement or a punitive type of an ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
So I do want to make that statement.
Sure.
And
you know, for the benefit of the audience, mm-hmm. perhaps you could summarize the ordinance briefly, or perhaps if you have it in front of you, just read a line or two of it to indicate more or less what it does.
Well,
and we should emphasize this ordinance is a draft ordinance at the moment.
Right, it's a draft ordinance, and it's an ordinance that we felt very good about. It's very comprehensive in that it will give each of the five jurisdictions in our county an opportunity to look at and decide whether some of those provisions would work in their own communities or maybe might not work.
The five jurisdictions being Santa Cruz, Watsonville, Scotts Valley, Capitola, and the county itself. Right?
Exactly, exactly. So I think some of the compelling information that we had came from the city of San Jose, who has worked long and hard and had a lot of community representation in developing their curfew. And I think that some of the significant events, curfew events that they've cited in their program evaluation is important. And I'd be happy to talk about some of that as well, which really lends itself to the protection of our youth emphasis on this ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
So if you'd like, I'd be happy to share some of that information.
Sure. Let me first kind of acquaint the listeners with sort of what the ordinance is. I'm looking, I'm kind of scrambling for my copy.
Copy of the ordinance itself?
Yeah, you have a copy of that?
Yeah, let me grab mine. It's here. Hold on.
Okay. Yeah, Betty chaired the meeting last night of the Criminal Justice Council, which had such luminaries as Justice Tom Black.
Okay, I have it in front of me.
And she's back with us again. Go ahead, Betty.
Okay. What did you want me to do, Robert? You want me to give an overview of what the...
Well, read the last part of the ordinance, I think, is the most important. What in fact, is are people under 17? I guess that's whom it affects.
Right.
Or is it
what
under
the
eight?
Ordinance does yeah. is it starts with part one of the ordinance. It's called a Youth Protection Curfew Ordinance,
mm-hmm.
and it goes through and it defines, it gives definitions. For example, the curfew hours are clearly indicated in there as 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. It goes into a lot of language.
That's 7 days a week?
Yes.
And it refers to people under 17?
It means persons under 18 years of age.
Under 18.
Right,
so
the Sentinel article
is wrong,
and I'm going to make sure that there's a correction that's printed. It's under age 18, which is critical.
Right.
And it goes into a lot of dialogue that talks about what public places mean, what remain, to remain in an area or to linger or to stay, what that means.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the most critical parts of this entire ordinance is its exemptions portion. And its exemptions portion really truly does address children's rights, which I think it was very important.
Can you read the last, I think the last page is the most succinct. It includes both the exemptions and the core of the ordinance.
Right. Well, the exemptions.
But first of all, say what it criminalizes, and then give the exemptions. Or let's say bars.
There's no criminal element to this ordinance at all.
Okay. So there's no fine or penalty for. What's the incentive for following the ordinance?
Well, the incentive. Each jurisdiction is going to be developing their own sanctions that are mandated by this.
I see. So in other words, there will be a criminal element.
Yet.
There'll be a criminal element, but we just haven't developed it.
There's really not a misdemeanor or a criminal charge. They're considered 601 cases, which is in the Welfare and Institutions Code, clearly defines that it is not a criminal act. And what we're hoping will be developed are sanctions that might include something like essays or community service.
But an officer can detain a youth and take her or him to a facility or to a home to a parent if he or she wishes.
Absolutely.
So in other words, even though it's not criminal in the sense of a criminal record, it certainly has to be regarded as something that allows for the use of force by the police department. I mean, I know you haven't developed that section yet, but one
right.
must probably presume.
I don't feel qualified to make statements for the different jurisdictions.
Sure, I don't expect you to. That's simply my perspective
on
it.
Okay.
But let me ask you again if you can read that the section of the law, the last part of the law, which both includes the exemptions and what is not allowed under the law.
Okay, it says under here that the prohibition of to carry, which is it is unlawful for an unemancipated minor under the age of 18 to carry, and that's T-A-R-R-Y, mm-hmm. and I can give you the definition of that if you think that's important.
It's kind of like loitering, right?
Loitering, correct. In a public place between the hours of 11 p.m. and 5 a.m., it goes on to talk about the exemptions, and it says a minor under the age of 18 shall not be in violation of this chapter if at the time the minor was stopped by a police officer, the minor was, and there's listed 1, 9.
Can you read those exemptions for us?
Sure. Accompanied by the minor's parent or guardian on an errand at the direction of the minor's parent or guardian, without detour or stop, in a motor vehicle involved in interstate travel, engaged in a lawful employment activity, or going to or returning from a lawful employment activity without detour or stop. The next one is acting in response to an emergency. Another very important one is on the sidewalk abutting the minor's residence.
That was a controversial one, right?
Yes, it was. Or abutting the resident, which is immediately adjacent to the minor's residence. Next is returning directly home without detour or stop from a school, cultural, sport, amusement, entertainment, movie, or recreation activity, or any organized rally, demonstration, meeting, or similar activity, which was also controversial and important to be in here.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Waiting at a train or bus station for transportation. And then the last thing states, emancipated in accordance with the California Family Code or other applicable state laws.
Now, there was some talk, the supervisor pushing this is Jan Butz.
I don't know that's correct.
That's my perception.
She was one of the board members that attend and is a member of the Criminal Justice Council. The request, by the way, came from the chair of the Board of Supervisors, who is Fred Keeley.
I'm sorry, quite correct. I misread that.
That's okay.
But she certainly voted in favor of it. There were only two dissenting votes, as I remember, Terry Moriarty and...
from Community Counseling and Larry Bigham, our public defender.
And there was an abstention from Judge Black.
Of course, appropriately so.
Uh-huh.
I think another part, Robert, that's important with this ordinance, if one is developed or accepted by the Board of Supervisors, is that we include in that an evaluation period where specific information will be provided back to the governing board about the effectiveness of such an ordinance. And I think that's probably something that is very useful as well.
Yeah, I think... my position, of course, is significantly different than yours, and I told the audience before...